In a high-tech world where people have ever-increasing courage to sit behind a screen and dole out opinions without consequence, comes three heroes prepared to fight back through the safety of our microphones and digital airwaves. You've got one star for us? Well, we've got three stars for you. Here comes Three Stars Podcast, ready to dish it out.
Hello, welcome to Three Stars Podcast. I'm your host, Samantha. I got a bit of a frog in my throat today. I don't know what's going on. I woke up with schmutzies, and now I sound amazing. Stop laughing at me. What? That's rude. Welcome to Three Stars Podcast, folks.
I think I grew up knowing at least half a dozen people that sounded just like that.
Yeah, I did. I woke up. I was talking to Brad this morning. I think our humidifier helps with my smoker's voice because I wake up from using the humidifier and I have snot all up in my nose and I feel like I have a scratchy sore throat. And I'm a couple octaves deeper and I sound like Emmy Jo. And if anyone knows who Emmy Jo is, that's the best thing to sound like because she's fucking funny. She's hilarious. But this is how Emmy Jo talks. Anyways, welcome to Three Stars Podcast. I am your host, Samantha. I'm here with my phenomenal bros, Brad. Don't take that sip.
Hello.
Caught him ready. So he's going to take a sip of coffee. Thank you very much for tuning in. We do appreciate all of you. We hope that all of you are doing well wherever you are in freezing Colorado, Montana, or warm Mexico. Or even over in dreary England.
Or 2 feet of snow in Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, New York, and England. We all hope that you are doing well, safe, and just living your best life. Not sarcastically, by the way. You are living your best life. If you don't know who we are, we welcome you to the show. We are a podcast that craps on shitty reviews and we make fun of the reviewers at their expense because there's a lot of smart people out there that know how to write edumacated reviews.
That one, you're being facetious.
Yes, I am. And it's funny how I'm saying this and my southern twang comes out. That's really rude of me. I'm so sorry.
That's low hanging fruit. That's too easy.
That's so sorry. It's not true though. I know a lot of people who are incredibly intelligent down south. So that's very rude of me. We do welcome you to the show though. Thank you very much for tuning in. We do make fun of reviewers at their expense. I'm sorry you kind of asked for it. And we also try and teach you how to write a better review because honestly, these reviews do hurt the business if you're writing because you're just angry. You're just angry.
We really do that in a negative way though.
Yeah,
we teach you by making fun of you.
I don't know. That's kind of true. It's kind of not true. I don't know. please make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, sometimes X, very rarely X. That now sounds pornographic or something.
It really does.
I don't like that. Twitter. And the TikToks, we are on the talkies. Go ahead and hit that like button, that heart button, and make sure you hit subscribe. Today we're going to be talking about a company that caters, well, supposedly is to cater to adults and going and playing video games and having fun and being able to drink where you do that. But unfortunately, they still do cater to the children. And let's all face it, it's a bad place because
I like what you've written here.
I know. I'm not even following it. It's a bad place because parents go there to drop their kids off and give them play cards and let them go wreak havoc on machines while the parents just get shit-faced and not even pay attention. So it's definitely not for adults, or maybe it is for adults. I don't know. Either way, we're going to be talking about D&B, not S&M. Dave & Buster's. And here today to talk with us about Dave & Buster's is a former manager and also, I didn't realize this until we did the hash shot, a former ex of Brad's and myself, because I did work for him, Marcus Wovishamaika. Marcus, welcome to the show.
I am happy to be here.
Wait, it's German, so it's a Wovishamaika.
Wovishamaika.
With Marcus, emphasis on the...
Marcus, pronounce your not last name for
it's
us.
It's Wurschmidt, as in you're going to the store and Schmidt.
Wurschmidt. It's actually Wurschmidt.
Yeah, just in case you didn't know how to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah, nobody said that to me in ever. Ever.
I remember, like, Marcus has one of those last names that if you spell it out, you just... You won't get it right. Like, you won't get it right in the spelling, and you also won't get it right in the pronunciation.
Phonetically?
Yep.
Yeah. Wurschmidt.
Because you got five consonants right in the middle.
Five continents?
Consonants.
What, Africa?
Yes.
Australia. Asia.
Yep.
And at his age, Antarctica. He's also incontinent.
Okay. Oh, man.
That's a side effect from the disease.
Marcus, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for being here. We do appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us. We actually, Brad has been begging, hounding, nagging, pleading to get you on the show. So we're glad you're finally here.
It is my pleasure.
Don't tell my other exes, but you were supposed to be number one.
Mm-hmm. You were, and something happened, and I don't know.
You ended up being number two. In order that it'll come out, you'll be number two in the Brad's
number
exes.
Two work for.
What?
Okay.
What is that from?
Austin Powers.
Oh. It's been a really long time since I've seen that.
Don't look at me right now. Just stare at the wall, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So before we jump into this episode and we spend this game card, we're going to start with a drink. Brad, what are we drinking today?
What did one mushroom say to the other? You're a real fun guy.
Oh!
we're drinking mushrooms, actually. Mushrooms have become extremely popular over the last bunch of years, not just the psychedelic kind, but it turns out there are a lot of health benefits to it. So I have been drinking a particular mushroom drink called Everyday Dose that Samantha found for me.
Sorry.
That's right. Actually, your sister did.
Andrea found it. Andrea did all the research and looked at everything that came in these top few mushroom brands. And Andrea chose this one because it's got the most amount of amino acids in it, which is actually really good for your body, gives you energy and helps rebuild your proteins and stuff like that. It also has all the top mushrooms that are needed for memory and energy and
antioxidants,
healthiness. And it was the one that was honestly the best price for all of the stuff that you get.
Yeah. So that's what we are drinking today.
Yes. Clink.
Yeah. Normally I put this in my coffee, but we're doing it actually one of the ways that they suggest because it already has coffee in it. And it's just mixed with water. And I think each of us might have put in some half and half or cream or something. And you can also like sweeten it with honey, which I probably should have done, but didn't.
Mine's phenomenal. I think it's great. Well, cool.
That's where we use.
Okay. Marcus.
Yo.
Have you listened to our episode ever?
I have.
Our podcast? Cool. So you're probably familiar with the fact that we have appetizers, main course, and desserts.
Yep.
Desserts are just kind of a throwaway. We just laugh at them. And the appetizers and main courses, we usually try to dive into a bit more, dissect a bit more, say why it's a good or bad review, and then we rate it. Typically, we rate those. I like to give our guests the option to read anything and everything. Since I do a lot of the talking, it's nice because then it gives me a bit of a break. And we do try to pick reviews from one where you worked and reviews that do include your name so that, you know, you can hopefully remember the situation and give your side of it. Or if your name isn't in it, you can just give your input to the situation, because as we all know, people are not liars.
Never, ever.
When they're angry and don't get their way, they absolutely tell the truth about the review and how great the restaurant, the service, the food, the managers was. And so we always want to make sure to have that other person's truth as well to kind of balance out the reviews. So we're going to start with appetizers. If you would like to read that, appetizers, there's two of them in there. You're more than welcome to. If you want to take one and we take another, that's fine. You just let me know.
We're starting on the Wayback Machine.
The Wayback Machine. And let's give a little Wayback information. How many Dave & Buster's did you work for?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, two, three, Holy four, smokes. Five.
What?
I thought it was just two.
I thought it was just two also.
No, I did openings in Chicago and openings in Panama City Beach.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. You should have told me that. PC's got all sorts of intelligence down there in that Gulf area with
I was just
the core exit hanging out in the bottom of the Gulf.
Doing the hiring sites and the opening days. Like,
tell us about that core exit.
Yeah. All right. So we're starting with number one. This is at 422 of 22.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. So mm-hmm. I was not part of them at this point in time. It's a lot of fun, but kind of overpriced. It can be packed at times, too. I'd recommend going during the week, especially if you have younger kids. 3 stars. Well, it's a 25,000 square foot facility. and that includes all of the storage spaces, the kitchen, the offices, the whole nine yards. This is for Albuquerque, New Mexico. Where's that review on? So, and then the dining room, I think only seats something like 190.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of
only 190.
Yeah,
the majority of the space is for the games.
The games.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're easily the largest, more than twice the dining area is games area.
Yeah,
not including the winner's circle area over there.
But I mean, if you talk about, let's just say your average TGI Fridays, Applebee's, Chili's, how many square feet is that kind of business?
Anywhere between 5 to 8.
The majority of which is dedicated to
the front of the house.
The front of the house. And obviously, Dave & Buster's majority dedicated to the front of the house, but you're having to pay for 25,000 square feet and just a phenomenal electric bill.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the fire up, fire down there is fun.
So, I mean, the pricing on that. Hey, you know, one thing I never knew, Dave & Buster's, they rent the machines or
no,
they buy them?
They buy them.
Okay.
So they are getting full profit off of them.
Well, yep. Once they're paid for sure.
Right.
Right.
Once and they've all been paid back, yeah.
But there's usually a team of people working on them.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I would go in every once in a while to the one that you worked at, and there would be at least two machines broken somewhere and one person working on one of those machines at one at a time.
Right.
Not
and
like
then
three
by the time they
the
made it over to the other machine that was broken,
something
two
would break
more
down.
Machines broke.
Yeah. Just crazy. Crazy, crazy. So this review, in my mind, is not a 3-star review. In my mind, it's a 1-star, honestly, because it doesn't talk about the food.
Well, you mean in terms of our rating?
My rating, yeah.
Right.
It is 3-star review from Yelp, but this review doesn't say anything other than it's overpriced, which I knew. You know, you're paying for the power cards first and foremost, and then you're paying for the drinks and the food on top of it. It's not a one big package ordeal.
Right.
And that just goes back to know your onions. Sorry.
Right. I mean, and I will tell you what, though. I mean, it can be packed, and I recommend going during the week. I also recommend going during the week.
Yeah.
Because they need the business during the week. They don't need you there on Friday and Saturday. They need you there on Monday.
Monday, Tuesday. You know,
Wednesday. It's half price games.
There you go. It kind of reminds me of Costco. I don't like going to Costco on Friday and Saturdays. It's just way too packed. I don't do it.
Or Sundays before football games.
Yeah, or Sundays. I like to go to Costco Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only day I'll set foot in there.
Nice and quiet. You can get in and get out. I love Costco. I don't have any animosity. I don't love Dave & Buster's at all.
I have animosity.
I know you do. but this... you know, did you think things were overpriced there?
No. From a standpoint, when you turn around and you look at what the demographic was looking at, if we looked at the income levels within the state of New Mexico and where those upper income, if we looked at the top 10% earners from in that state, we probably weren't that overpriced. But if we looked at the blue collar market, yes. Like it was a night out. You were going out. You knew you were going to spend the money. If you were coming in not expecting to spend the money, I think you were misinformed and miseducated on being able to come in.
Right, where you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brad? I mean, I always remember Dave & Buster's being very expensive. I mean, the first time I ever went to one was when I was 21 years old, and it was the one down on Colorado on I-25. And I thought it was expensive then, and this is 28 years ago. But I'm not as old as Marcus.
Nice.
But yeah, like I would watch people come in when I worked there, and the amount of money that they were spending, I mean, it wasn't just your night out. I mean, I think for a lot of people, it was like, it was the night out for the month.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of money you spend on the power cards, plus if you're going to eat and drink there. I mean, unless you're there during one of the happy hours or something like that during the week. Or like I said, like I'm totally fine with going on a Wednesday, especially like it's half price games. And then they also had two happy hours. So that, you know, that made helps. It affordable.
Yeah, that helps.
But it was otherwise, yeah, it's pricey to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the average guest to there way back when I first started with them, was the quote was, the average guest is in the building 1.7 times a year.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So you're talking about, it was that night out, was that month out, was we budgeted out for this.
Right.
And you could definitely see that with a lot of them.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of the guests.
I mean,
a lot of good people.
And I would say a lot of the same clientele that, like, they're going out for this entertainment.
Yeah.
Right. It's competing with other things that they could be doing. But I would say, like, that clientele is the same clientele you will see at, like, a Waterworld or an Elitch's or, you know, something along those lines. Whereas those places, you can buy a season pass, right?
Right.
You can't exactly buy a season pass to Dave and Buster's. But Dave and Buster's is structured to draw you back in.
Yep.
I mean, you get those game cards and you put your tickets on them when you win tickets. You might not spend them right there, but you hold on to them knowing that you can go back and use them. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you didn't even use up all of your credits on the games. So there's that draw to go back there. And specifically for the kids,
yeah,
right? Like they're saying in this review, especially if you have younger kids, because your kids are going to ask to go again.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I think
ours did.
You didn't end up writing, you didn't end up saying it, but it is a playland with booze.
It is a playland with booze. Yes, I did write that, but I didn't say it. It's a really great concept, and I totally get where Dave and
Buster. Are those real people?
Dave Corview and Buster Corley.
There you go.
Rest
I'm shocked
souls.
You still remember. I cannot tell you how many times I read that on the wall and it still never stuck.
It's
I knew they were real dudes.
Really good concept, but it's the worst.
Yeah.
I don't like going there because it's a playland with booze. You know, it's mostly geared towards your kids instead of adults. This review, I think, she could have offered a bit more detail just in general about what Dave and Buster's is, because looking at this review, I have no idea what's overpriced.
Yeah. I mean, I believe her, right?
Like
as short as this review is,
yeah.
I believe her.
I believe this is
a real legitimate review that she wrote, that she felt the place deserved 3 stars. I think the review itself is just severely lacking.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 1.
Me too. We rate them 1, 2, or 3 stars, how we feel about them. Or you can, If you think that the review is really stupid, you can cut the person off, or you can 86 them.
No, that's an easy 1, because within that, just the review itself, if we turn around and we'll look at what we want to get from a review, it doesn't give me any information on how I can improve their visit.
Yeah, right. Because you can't change the prices.
You can't change that, yeah. You know. All right, 1 overall. Next review. Who wants to hit this one up? I kind of like having this low voice.
I can read it. This is the Denver location, which is the one where I worked for Marcus. It is a 3-star on Yelp from 12 of 16. I was not there. You might have been, right?
I was there.
You were there? Okay. We stopped in tonight with our friends for dinner and some play. It took a little longer for us to be seated than we expected. We placed our order, which were 2 appetizers. After about 30 to 45 minutes, we flagged down our server and learned that our food was still not ready. We requested a manager visit.
Ding, ding.
Sean, the manager. Do you know Sean, the manager?
I do.
Okay. Sean, the manager, came to our table and shared that our server had not placed our order after all. When we When he had told us that the kitchen was slammed, Sean went above and beyond to make up for our visit. He comped our appetizers, so he didn't learn from you, and then brought over a few cards for play. So maybe he did learn from you. The food was good and the gesture was well appreciated. Because of Sean's visit, we will for sure be back to Dave and Buster's. And there is a very good picture of some
really
very pretty appetizers.
That's a really good picture. That's some really good looking food.
Yep. Looks almost staged.
And this was a 3-star on Yelp.
And it's a 3-star. Hmm. Okay, what do we think, gentlemen? There's all sorts of goodness that I want to hear from your perspective, Marcus.
All right, so... if memory serves me correct, this manager was a trainee at this point.
Okay.
And they ended up going to a different location. So they would have been in training at this point while they're inside of the building. The game cards, that's an SOP. Anytime you're within that system trying to recover a guest, you want to add on, not take off.
You want to SOP them.
Yeah, what's a SOP?
Standard operating procedure.
I'm just making sure you say it on the mic so some don't know now know.
I just wanted to sound smart by saying it.
SOP.
No, and getting from there, the comping on the appetizers, you know, at the time when we turn around and we look at 16, Dave & Buster's was not overly concerned with a lot of the comps. That were from there. The fact that he came to the table, that he owned, he really didn't own the opportunity. And he overshared the information.
Yes.
Like we're displacing where that should be. It should be, yep. I'm so sorry. Unfortunately, we didn't get your order correct. We're being able to remake it at this time. And yes, I'm telling you a bold-faced lie at this point in time. But I'm not displacing where that anger for the guest is going to be in regards to the team member.
That, yeah.
Right.
That's
And to me, this is actually probably on my world a 3-star review because it gives me coaching opportunities against the manager. It gives me coaching opportunities against the staff. It gives me coaching opportunities in regards to the shift to take a look at what we were doing wrong. What was the opportunities on the shift? How can we improve that day?
And I mean... in terms of positive stuff too, you know, the kitchen was slammed, probably. I mean, that was probably legit that the kitchen was really busy and that they were still able to get in and quickly turn around a rush order all while being slammed.
And it for to look like that.
Right. Yeah. It came out perfectly.
Like that is a photo from a menu is what that looks like.
Yeah.
That is like beautiful. Beautiful.
Is that an elbow there?
So I think that, that's an elbow in the menu.
I'm just making sure that it's probably not a photo.
Yeah, no. That is, it looks like the food that actually did come out. That's someone taking that picture.
Yeah.
There was something in here. Oh, so the aspect of Sean then saying that the server had not actually rung in the food and it being, if he would have not said that, and just owned up that said the lie that was, you know, the kitchen's just taking a really long time right now. We're very busy. I'm sorry. We're going to have this out for you ASAP, whatever it is that he says, outside of putting the blame on the server, it does give the manager a better opportunity to coach the server or whatever the level of accountability is going to be for the server, for the manager to do that without animosity towards you turned my guest against me now.
Right.
And the server, like if you could have, as a manager, taken care of that situation, the server could have been like, oh, thank goodness this manager had my back.
Correct.
Looks very positively towards
that
manager.
Going.
Yeah. And then that all around just ends up being a much better situation in making sure it doesn't happen again.
See, and I'm number one, I'm really happy to read that these group of people requested a manager's visit instead of immediately complaining, getting upset, and then going on to Yelp and being like, our food took forever and we found out that the server, you know, blah, 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 forgot to put it in. It was nipped in the bud right then and there, which is great. That's what you're supposed to do. I am not happy that Sean threw the server under the bus. Because let me tell you, I've been doing this for 25 years, and the older I've gotten, the more I forget. And I have handhelds where I work now, and if I don't have my handheld and I write an order down, I forget. And it's really bad. I forget. Luckily, my kitchen is at the max 10 minutes. They turn our food around real quick. But it's embarrassing because I do take pride in my work. And it's embarrassing for the company as a whole, even though I work in the airport and, you know, airport employees don't care about customer service, blah, blah. I do. And so to have my manager flat out throw me under the bus and then, and I don't even know if Sean Winton told this server, hey, just to let you know, I spoke to that table and I told him that you forgot to put the food. If the manager had come to me, if one of my managers did that to me now, I would be completely embarrassed and I wouldn't want to go back to the table. I would feel so uncomfortable and weird. I would be afraid of the repercussions from the guests. You know, because people are not nice. People are mean nowadays, and they just, the entitlement kicks in, and they're like, oh, so we heard you forgot to put our order in.
Oh, you know that's exactly how that went.
Right. You know, so I think Sean did a huge no-no by saying that the server forgot to put your order in. And me personally, being in the service industry for a long time, I have flat out told my customers, guys, I'm so sorry, your server's an idiot. And they look at me funny like, wait, what? You're talking about yourself? Yes, I am. Your server's an idiot. She forgot to do this. She'll get it out right now. I had to do that 3 weeks ago. I completely forgot to greet another table that I had already pre-greeted, drop waters to, and then got busy doing other stuff. My brain wasn't in the game. I was exhausted. And I had to go back to them and be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Your server is a moron. She completely dropped the ball. And I recovered it smoothly. But I still felt really weird having to go back to that table. So to have a manager who's supposed to be there for you not be there for you, that's a big ouch.
Because at the end of the day, when we turn around and we look at it, they just know that their food is taking 30 to 45 minutes.
Correct.
They don't
know
why.
They don't care.
They just want their food.
Yeah.
And it's an easy, simple, table touch. When we come over to it, we say, hey, we'll have that right out to you. And as well as, you know, Brad, more than likely what they ended up doing is walking right back into the window.
Finding
two items that match that order.
Out.
Right. Grabbed them, uh-huh. Made them look absolutely perfect. Like that should be like a screenshot on a Dave & Buster's website. And then brought them out. Like that's what should have happened and transpired.
Right.
And then here's a couple of $10 game cards for you to go in and experience the arcade a little bit more.
Right. That still doesn't take away from the fact that the kitchen had to remake those on the
right.
fly.
Yeah, so the kitchen right. does do order. That. Right. Yes, but it gives a little bit of a window grace period.
Of course.
For the other customers in the table such as that. Now, if you were this manager, would you have comped their appetizers?
No.
Why?
Because it's a matter of adding on, not taking off. I'm trying to preserve the income that has already come into the business and preserve the income that is there for my team. My job is to make money for my team, and I make money for my team as a result of making money for my business.
And that's how it should be done.
Yes.
That really is how it should be done, folks.
And those power cards are going to, well, for starters,
recoup
actually.
Recoup everything.
Just being there, you know, facing the guest as a manager and fixing the situation covers a lot.
Yep.
And then those power cards are like that little bit of a bonus, and you know, the kids get to go and play some more games, or yep. the parents,
because your price point against those power cards, if I say, all right, here's, you know, we'll assume that this is a table of four, I'm going to give them four $10 power cards. They're getting $40 added on,
right?
As opposed to me comping $20. Actually, that burger and wings is probably about $30-$35.
Because that's one of those sampler things.
Yeah, the I think that was like 15 at the time.
Yeah.
And then the spin dip was probably 10. So we're about $25 on that. And then...
Yeah, and to them, it's a lower cost to you, the business, to here are these, you know, $40 worth of power cards. That costs you less than this... You know, than buying the food and giving the power cards. And
correct.
The guest is going to see that as a tremendous value $40 more. Because to them, it is $40 more.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, and even on those, catching people when they're heading back out, doing bounce backs and that kind of, oh, I already hit the arcade. Oh, well, here's a 20 for 20 for the next time that you're in.
Yeah.
Come and see me.
I'm glad that you picked this review because I had this situation happen yesterday. It wasn't 30 to 45 minutes, but the guy had been sitting there for about 20 minutes, and he neither, or nah, maybe 15 minutes, he neither had the cider that he ordered nor the food that he ordered from the other bartender.
Oh, wow.
And I saw him there because I had gotten him his water, and then she took his order. Mm-hmm. So I saw him with water, and I saw him with his silverware. And I, you know, a lot of people just drink water. Well, I automatically assumed she put in his order. Yeah. She had not. So I got him his cider. I got his order put in. I immediately went to the chef, let him know, and he cranked it out super fast, had the manager bring it, and I took it from the manager, who was like, tell him we'll take care of it for him. And I did not. I was like, I said, how about I just make him happy?
Yeah.
And so I got him his food. And then I went and I let the other bartender know after it's all been fixed. I said, hey, just so you know, you forgot to get 401 his cider and put in his food that he ordered. And she's like, oh my goodness. All right, well, I'll just take it off of his bill.
No.
And I said, no. I said, we're going to try a little different. I said, I'm going to make him happy and then I'm going to make him pay for it. What do you think? And he was thrilled. He had time to order a second beer and got his food and, you know, made it to his flight on time. All this, like, no issues whatsoever. Everything was taken care of and he tipped, right? Like, so we lost nothing and we gained everything.
Yep.
Yeah, we ended up in that situation. You end up making somebody's day better. And quite honestly, if we turn around and look at it, all right, I'm just going to buy all of this for him. All right. Now I have a negative connotation that's assigned with that site as opposed to a positive one with my departure on that.
Right.
And heading out.
Yeah.
And coming from the service industry, me personally, to follow up with that, Marcus, if you take something off my bill, then I have to do the math when I do get my bill, or if I don't get a bill, how am I supposed to tip you?
Yeah.
I'm
that becomes an uncomfortable situation.
Right.
For the guest.
I'm a very gracious person, not to toot my own horn, but I've stated on this podcast before, we all have bad days. You don't know what's going on in everybody else's life. You don't know if your server is just coming back from their dad's passing or their dog's passing, or they just broke up, or they just got chewed out by the manager, or just had a horrible experience with another customer. You don't know what's going on with them.
Or they've been getting their ass kicked.
Handed to them. Yeah. You don't know what's going on. And so me being in the hospitality industry and always trying to keep an open mind about that, I will tell people, if I complain about my food or there's something wrong with my food, don't take it off the bill. Don't, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Cause I want to make sure that you still get tipped. Whether the service was shit or on par, I'm still going to give you that because I know what it's like to get a zero tip and then have to tip out my bartenders and my bussers with. So
right. Yeah.
It does make it more challenging if you just take away from the bill on the customer's end too.
I want to mention something because we've talked on this podcast many, 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 many times about the importance of going to the manager and getting it taken care of on site, right? And you already mentioned that a little bit ago, and we had Kevin on and said that so many things, you know, he said the same thing, so many things could just be taken care of if you said something.
Yep.
And then we've also talked about people going to Yelp and complaining and whatnot or writing a review. I'm okay with it in this situation because they did go to the manager and then they came back and they wrote a very good, legit review.
Yes.
Right? They actually wrote something here that, like Marcus said, there's a lot that he can do with this review to make sure that everything goes better from here on out. Whereas that last review, he's like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Right.
Right. So it's okay for me from a server or bartender standpoint who hates Yelp reviews that this person did talk to a manager and then came back having had the better experience and written a 3-star review because the situation could have gone really badly.
Yep.
And then they come on and write a 1-star review.
Correct.
And I'm okay with the fact that the situation went the way it went. They were still unhappy about it, but still left happy, and they would go back, and that turned it into a 3-star review.
Correct.
So I give this 3 stars.
Marcus?
3 stars all day.
I'm going to give it 3 stars as well. However, I wish they did a very good job of being detailed. They took pictures of the food, so, and to me, the food looks great, so you don't need to write about the food. They requested a manager visit, but right out of the gate, they said, you stopped in for, you know, with our friends for dinner and some play. What kind of play? I don't know what Dave & Buster's is. So if you could, you know, elaborate, again, I'm going to give it 3 stars, but I think they could have said something about that. And that's just me being nitpicky about... You know, when you go to leave a review, you need to leave a review of the entire experience, the atmosphere, the service, everything.
Right.
Everything from A to Z.
Yeah. So what were you there to play?
Right.
Because some people do go there for a very specific thing.
Sure.
Right. They go to, what was that one game that people were just like ransacking the game for tickets because somebody posted a video
of
how to cheat the game?
There was two of them. There was two of them. One of them, it wasn't, the one was
like the milk
blackout,
jug or something? Oh, blackout.
And the other was milk jug toss.
Okay.
So blackout, if you didn't throw the first one, it covered the hardest part and then you could cover the rest of it and win max tickets every time. And then on milk jug, somebody had figured out if you threw the ball between, I think it was the 50 and the 250, you would bounce it from there, hit him right in his teeth, and it would fall directly into the jug every time. Which is why they raised the plexiglass.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Look at that.
That's wild. I remember that being a big deal.
Yep.
All right. 3 stars overall from us.
I think it would be great, like, to. I just thought
of a joke, and I'm not going to say it though.
Oh, good. I think now would be a really good time to get into Marcus.
Yeah.
Sure.
Should we the front or the back?
Well, I'm sure he would like both. Marcus, you have been in the industry.
How long?
You just said 32 years?
32 years.
It's a long time.
And is it safe to say that you have done every part of this business? Like you started off as like a busser, a dishwasher or something?
I started out as a line cook with Taco Bell when they used to cook food.
What?
Oh.
Yes.
Taco Bell actually used to cook food?
Yeah. Ground beef. Like my favorite thing is every couple of years somebody talks about, oh, there's fillers in the ground beef at Taco Bell. Yeah, no shit. It's oatmeal.
So that's super weird because you just said, wait, they used to cook food as though you would think that they always didn't.
I didn't
and
think they
I
did.
Am over here thinking like, wait, you mean they don't cook food?
Yeah, no, it is Taco Bell is probably the safest food on the planet, in my
really?
Opinion. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Everything is done in thermal bags. It's all 30-minute cook times against boiling water. So you know when you're pulling it out of that boiling water, it's probably sitting at about 180 to 190.
Wow.
So there's not an issue on that. And I haven't worked for them since 97, 98. And I'll still tout against anybody that wants to try and throw negative things. Like their service, yes, I got you there. Like I follow. But that's a hard piece when we turn around and we look at the labor market, and that's a whole different conversation about what we should be doing. But I started out as a line cook from there. I was a GM for them. I was an area director of one for a while.
Oh, yeah, you had one?
I have one.
They made you someone, like they made you that location's big
yeah,
boss?
I was that location's big boss and that location's boss.
Wow.
And then I worked for Applebee's as a GM for about 12 years.
Oh, wow.
And got the dubious honor of opening one location, but closing down 4.
Oh, ouch.
I was just talking about one of my friends who opened. She was an NSO, new store opener, for TGI Fridays. She had the record of opening 78 locations.
That's crazy.
And now just had to close the one that she was the general manager of. And I was like, well, at the rate they're closing them, she could set a new record. of you know, closing 79 locations.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you go on to Applebee's, Landry's.
Yep. That was downtown aquarium.
Right. You had the aquarium. And I like, I don't want to get too much into that because that could, those stories I'm sure can take us forever. But talk about like multiple revenue centers. Like you have to figure out how you're feeding the families in the restaurant and how you're feeding the sea otters and the manatees.
Oh yeah. The manatees. I wish they had manatees there. That would have been awesome. It was an absolutely fantastic environment. But you had so many different revenue centers. You had your educational revenue center. You had your box office revenue center. You had your snack shack revenue center. You had food and beverage. You had sales, all coalescing into one P&L. You had individuals directing over all of those. So it was a far more difficult balance against what you were doing as far as an operation goes, because you've got parking and you've got to deal with the person in charge of parking and making sure that we're being in, you know, having integrity on parking. There was more people fired from parking in my time there than any place else because they still took cash.
Really?
Wow. And then, you know, box office and understanding what we were trying to do in regards to gather information from the guest that was coming in, being coherent with that. You had a manager that was just in charge of volunteers. She had like 1,800 volunteers that she had to coordinate.
Holy crap.
You had two separate managers that dealt with the habitat inside, and then you have one manager that oversaw them as well as life support, which is the person that's in charge of making sure that all the water and that stuff goes up.
Wow.
You had the sales manager. For there, you had your kitchen manager, food and beverage manager.
How long were you there?
I was there for almost 4 years or 3 years.
That's just insane. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot.
It was absolutely, at the exact same time, the most invigorating and coolest job that I've ever had in my entire life. It was the most, like, let me lose some more hair, let it get a little bit more gray, you know, let me see how far I can strain every relationship in my life.
Wow.
Kind of job.
Yeah, because I mean, as it is, and we've talked many times on this podcast about work-life balance and, you know, the stress. And you have, what, a baseball team's worth of family members?
I do. We have six kids, and I have one granddaughter. And my granddaughter and my youngest are 6 months apart.
Oof.
My wife and I have been together for 31 years.
Wow.
So, as everybody wants to say.
Did you meet her at Taco Bell?
I met her while I was working at Taco Bell. I met her at Denny's at 2 a.m.
Ooh, nice.
Right after you got off work at Taco Bell?
Yes.
Were you still a line cook?
Yes.
Wow.
Look at
so
that.
She really does love you.
I wonder why sometimes. I really do. but from there, then it was Dave and Buster's. I had the epiphany that I wanted to have a life, and I went over to Dave and Buster's. I had made friends there. I'd actually worked for them for 10 weeks and left them to go work at the aquarium. And then was brought back as a hypo GM.
A what?
High potential GM.
Oh, okay.
With the anticipation that within, I think it was 12 months, that I would be shipped out to run a location.
Yeah, I mean, I remember you coming in and you were, did we talk about this now or did we talk about this in the half shot? I don't remember, about you being the smartest person in the room.
Half shot.
And just the way you approached everything was really laid back and easygoing. Like you already had a comfort with the size of the operation that a Dave and Buster's is. Right? Dave and Buster's has multiple revenue centers.
Yep.
Right? Host stand, food, games.
Front desk, Mixmaster.
Yeah, Mixmaster.
Multiple bars.
What's the...
Winner's Circle.
Where you buy the Winner's Circle where you get to trade in your tickets and stuff. But you had like you already had like death in your eyes, I guess, right? Like in that you'd already seen such a high level of revenue and everything that could happen. Like you just came in very comfortable, rather than other managers who I had seen come and go, who had never had to deal with such a big place and the amount of stuff that you had to deal with.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And I remember, I just remember like you would come in and you would literally talk to every employee.
Yeah.
And it boggled my mind that you would come in and do that in such a large location. I had one manager that I worked for at Fridays who did that. He always insisted on walking in the front door and walking out the back door when he left, but he started again at the front door so that he talked to every single person before he left. And that you could come in with such a level of comfort to make sure that you talked to everybody. I guess that gets to where I wanted to go with why I still, it's 2024 now. I worked there in like 2011 or 2012 or something like that.
We worked together in 2012, I think.
Yeah. So that I've known you and we've been friends this long speaks to who you are and how you are with your employees. And at GoPuff, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
Like you talk to everybody, and I think it's fair to say everybody loves you that works for you, or everybody loves. I mean, sure, you'll have the outliers, mm-hmm. but you engage with people in such a genuine way. I guess for someone who like sometimes I feel dead inside, right? Like, how do you continue to do that?
One, you have to never forget where you come from. The vast majority of managers within the system are internal promotes at some point in time. At some point in time, you were a server. At some point in time, you were a bartender. At some point in time, you were a line cook or something along those lines. It's important to understand that. Two, to understand you're working with people. You know?
What does that mean?
To recognize somebody that's working alongside of you is just the biggest inopportunity as a human being, because you've got an ability to make a positive impact on somebody's life. You don't know if saying hi to somebody is going to be the savior of their day. You really don't. You've got to treat everybody like the sunshine that they are. No matter who you are, somebody out there loves you. And whether you don't know them immediately at that part, you know, just say, hey, Marcus, do you love me? Yes. I mean, that's where I'm always at. And it's very employee-centric. When you turn around and you look at the businesses, if we look at hospitality in and of itself, and we take in food or retail or the entertainment industry and whatnot, it is about the people that are producing, not the people that are operating. The people that are producing are the people that are generating your revenue. And you have to recognize that. You have to appreciate that, because you know what? If they're not there, there's no revenue coming in.
Right.
Between them and the dishwasher, you know.
Samantha just threw her arms way up in the air like she just won a race.
It's true. And a lot of businesses forget that. One of the places that I worked at out at the airport, which I mentioned in the half shot. So those of you who listen to us, you can follow my paper trail or my vocal trail. But the place that I worked at had a big, I don't know, not a board, but like a picture, a cardboard picture, whatever, a mantra. And it was from, I think, Gandhi. And one of the things that it said was, you need to be grateful for the customers that show up, because without them, there is no us. And part of that is true.
Correct.
But the next line or the next number should be, we are here for them, and without us, there is no them. And a lot of managers don't see it that way. A lot of business owners don't see it that way. They just see it as, you need to be grateful that the customers are here, because without them, there is no us. I'm sorry. Without me, your customers don't get their food or their drinks or clean dishes or whatever.
And there's to not sidetrack from that as well, I think within the industry, as far as managers go, there's a failure to recognize professional work within our industry.
Ah, yeah. Oh, gosh, that's another episode.
Versus
it's just a job. It's not. It's not. You know, there's specific types of people that work within our industry that go above and beyond and understand where all of that stuff is. I've worked with people that hate the job, but the moment they walked on that floor, that smile was on, that professional behavior was there. They went and they aced it every single time. And then they walk through that back door, boom, face drops.
You've never been my manager on the floor. How do you know? But, a go puff and I would just take a bag and run.
Yeah. It's like the scene in Waiting, right?
The lady.
Yeah. The server.
The crazy server who's bitching in the back and she comes on the floor. How is everything? Is it tasting great? Good.
And then right walks into the back. Motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, that's me.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's tentatively where most of the industry is. They don't believe that we are within that. They don't see us that way. Whether it is the people in the hedge funds or whether it is the executive leadership in there, I don't think the vast majority of them don't see it that way.
I agree. I don't think they do either.
No, they don't because they're like you said, and I mean, let's go full circle, is they don't remember where they came from.
Right.
Right. And I say this about some of the worst managers that I've had or the ones who just still have so much to learn. And it's that they forget when they were a host. And like when you're a host and you move up to a server, you forget that you were a host and you're a server now. And then when you're a server and you move to bartender, you forget that you were a server and what that's like. And then you're a bartender who moves up to manager and you forget what it was like to be a bartender. And you start, you do all of those things that just snowball in such a negative way in terms of how you handle situations with everybody in the building, right? You go from being a manager to an owner, from an owner to a director or CEO or whatever it is, and you forget those ever so humble beginnings, and that when you were that person, you needed guidance, you needed to be taken care of, you needed to be appreciated in all of the right ways. And if you don't take care of those people, it just sours the whole pot of what you're trying to do as the person in charge, as the boss, the owner. It ruins your vision, but it certainly ruins your concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely on some of those levels within my past where you had disconnect against that. You know, I would not hire a 25-year-old me ever, ever, because I just saw it as being easy.
Yeah,
like I don't understand why you can't do that. That's easy. Like walk, I can go over, I can do this. I can flip a steak. I can drop fries. I can walk up to a table and say hi and write things down. It's so easy.
It's
once you realize within the industry that one, it's a profession and it's dealt with in professional terms and you treat them like professionals and you treat them like human beings that we're supposed to, it'll change your whole prospect. When you turn around and you look at how you operate the business, it'll affect your turnover rates. I mean, when I was with one of my prior lives, I held the lowest turnover rate for years in Colorado. I remember working for this concept in a different state, and we hired 367 people for the opening.
Wow.
When we rolled around, and that opening happened in the beginning of November, when we rolled around to that next March, we still had 330 of those people on the books.
That's awesome.
So you've got to be able to do that kind of stuff. You've got to do the howdy round. You've got to interact with people.
Yeah, that's important.
I already said this. We could like talk to you for hours and hours and hours and hours about all sorts of things. I think that one of the funny things that just popped into my head, and we won't go into it. Again, we'll have to have Marcus back on the show, but is at 32 years in the industry, you could be 32 years old and still be old in the industry.
Oh, yeah.
And at your age, which is really, you're only like, I think we're pretty close to the same age.
Yeah, I'm 52.
Yeah, and I'll be 50 this year. But you're from a manager standpoint, I'm from a bartender standpoint. The majority of people coming into this industry are not our generation.
No.
And we are having to rethink how we deal and talk with coworkers, employees, and it is that like that's a topic for a whole
it's
other
saddening.
Thing. Yeah, it's saddening.
It's saddening. But, I tell you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's that's a topic for a whole other thing. But when you said earlier that you'd been in 32 years, I was just thinking about, you know, how do you manage the new 18, 19, 20, 21 year olds that are what gen is that?
Gen Z. You're Gen Z.
Gen Z. Like that's another conversation.
That's a whole hour-long conversation.
Yeah, and we're pushing this. This is going to be a two-parter, I think.
Yeah, because we have a very long...
We have a long main course to go through.
Let's get into that.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to part one of this episode. Make sure to check back with us next week for part two.